ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. टुडे वि आर् गोयिङ्ग् टु स्टार्ट् ए न्यू चाप्टर् दि मास्टर् वित् दि ब्रह्मो डिवोटीस्. In our last class, we discussed about how Sri Ramakrishna was taken by a boat by Keshav Chandra Sen, and after a marvelous conversation, and we have to note down that most of the talk is only by Sri Ramakrishna. In his presence, no one really dares to open their mouth and talk. After many hours of very enjoyable boat trip, Ramakrishna was let down somewhere. Then something noticeable had taken place. Keshav Chandra Sen had received Sri Ramakrishna from Dakshineswar, and they were all enjoying very nicely. And then when the time came, did it not occur to them, Sri Ramakrishna has to return to Dakshineswar, and it is a long distance. He is not going to walk back. He requires a carriage. Carriage means one has to hire. Hiring means one has to pay the price. But none of the Brahma devotees had ever asked, including Keshav Chandra Sen, "Sir, how are you going to return?" It's like, just imagine, you invite a Swami to your house and it's a long distance from the ashrama. And then you don't give him anything. You don't make arrangements for him to return. And then very smilingly, with the greatest devotion, you bid goodbye to him. That's a very interesting point. So Sri Ramakrishna then went to Suresh Mitra's house, and he was a very great devotee. He was one of the suppliers of Sri Ramakrishna's needs, appointed specifically by the Divine Mother to look after Sri Ramakrishna, even after the passing away of Sri Ramakrishna. But unfortunately, he was not informed that Sri Ramakrishna was coming. But they just hired a carriage and went to his house. And then only the topic, who is going to pay? Sri Ramakrishna was very humorous. He said, even though the master of the house was not there, but his people at home, they know me very well. They know how devoted their master was to me. Surely you can ask the carriage hire. What a shame that such a great soul had never thought who is going to pay the carriage hire. Only when Sri Ramakrishna visited Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, Vidyasagar was conscious of this fact, and while Sri Ramakrishna was about to go, he inquired of M, "Shall I pay the carriage hire?" But M said, "No, the devotees will take care of it." But in that instance or case, Sri Ramakrishna himself went there. Vidyasagar did not invite him. But in this case, Keshav Chandra Sen had invited him, came to Dakshineswar, picked him up, and then left him at a long distance without even thinking who is going to pay the carriage hire. And many of the Brahma devotees were in very good condition to pay the fare. Just a small point. Now we will move on to the next chapter, which is called The Master with the Brahma Devotees. Brahma Samaj had done quite a good amount of service to Sri Ramakrishna. It is from them, from the Brahma Samaj, that Sri Ramakrishna was given the knowledge by the will of the Divine Mother that an organization is very necessary for the propagation of either good or bad ideas. We all know evil people, cruel people, gangsters, they all form friendship. They are not loving each other, but they know the power of unity. Sri Ramakrishna learned many lessons that if my mission is to be successful, then we need an organization. And Sri Ramakrishna had learnt through this Brahma Samaj, especially associated with Keshav Chandra Sen. That is not the only lesson. All the future direct disciples, some monks, would-be monks, as well as some of the devotees, at that time they were attracted to this Brahma Samaj. Especially, Keshav Chandra Sen was a very charismatic orator. And why were these people? Later on, they have to divorce from Brahma Samaj, including Vijay Krishna Goswami. Why did they become attracted to Sri Ramakrishna? We see that there was not much of spirituality in Brahma Samaj, but they were doing tremendous good to the society through certain very needed reforms. Sri Ramakrishna understood the same ancient truths have to be put or to be explained in modern terms and to be molded so as they can be beneficial to the modern people. And that was what exactly Swami Vivekananda had learnt from Sri Ramakrishna, and he preached. And when Swami, revered Swami Ranganathananji Maharaj, he was given very special power by the direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna, especially by Swami Akhandanandaji, who blessed him, "May Saraswati reside in your tongue." That means you are going to become a very powerful orator. He was not only a mere orator, he was a great personality. His mind used to live on a very high plane. I was very fortunate to be associated with him for so many years. Such a person, he had delivered lectures. Not only his, Swami Ranganathanji Maharaj's lectures, one for ordinary people, devotees, people who used to attend in thousands at Delhi, at Calcutta, etc. And he used to tour the whole world also. Wherever he went, he created a very positive atmosphere. But more than that, there were people, especially associated with the government of India, who were very favorably disposed. They were not spiritually oriented, but they understood the social service. These were the ideals preached, not only for one's own spiritual progress, atmano mokshartham, jagat hitayacha. So, how many even today in the government are favorably disposed at the social service side of the Ramakrishna mission? That's why they help us a great lot. They have great respect for all of us, and that is what was happening. So Sri Ramakrishna learned an organization is very necessary. Of course, that was why Sri Ramakrishna was attracted to Keshav Chandra Sen and towards Brahma Samaj and vice versa. And Keshav Chandra Sen understood Sri Ramakrishna better than anybody else in those days. It was he who really made the name of Sri Ramakrishna popular by his wholehearted following, and also in his talks very frequently he used to quote, "Sri Ramakrishna said this, Sri Ramakrishna said that." In those days, Keshav Chandra Sen was extraordinarily famous, and he was a cult figure, very charismatic personality. So many, especially young people, were attracted not only by his personality, not only by his eloquent expositions, but by the ideas of trying to combine the spirit of all the religions. Even though he was a little more heavily borrowing from the life of Jesus Christ, etc., later on he understood. So even that seed of Sarva Dharma Samanvaya, harmony of all religions, already these ideas were slowly popping up here and there through these personalities. And there, of course, Ramakrishna just had to go like a wonderful tree. And imagine, It is a hybrid tree, just like nowadays. Several varieties of roses or several varieties of mangoes are grafted onto one wild root, so that every branch bears its own special type of mangoes or roses. Like that, the ideas of Keshav Chandra Sen had attracted, and many of the would-be monks, would-be disciples and would-be devotees of Sri Ramakrishna had gathered there. All that Sri Ramakrishna needed to do was go to those places and just gather them. And the moment both of them came into contact with each other, as if this was what they were searching for their whole life, the disciples immediately, they lost all attraction for the Brahmo Samaj and started visiting Dakshineswar. Even though Sri Ramakrishna did not stop visiting Brahmo Samaj, etc., until the very end. So, Keshav Chandra Sen, through his Brahmo Samaj, had attracted a great deal and served Sri Ramakrishna by attracting these people. So, it is not only that others had to learn from Sri Ramakrishna, but Sri Ramakrishna also had to find out a practical expression through which the dharma sthapana, establishment of dharma, could be done. In this background, we will enter into the subject. October 28, 1882, it was Saturday, a semi-annual Brahmo festival celebrated each autumn spring was being held in Beni Mathopal's beautiful garden house at Sinthi, about 3 miles north of Calcutta. This Beni Mathopal was a Brahmo devotee and he had genuine devotion to Sri Ramakrishna. And several times Sri Ramakrishna had visited this house blessed by the Beni Mathopal. And while the carriage bringing the master, a few devotees reached the garden house. The assembly stood up respectfully to receive him. Ramakrishna, whenever it is possible, used to take M and some other devotees with him. Of course, in a horse carriage, only a few people could be accommodated, and they reached, and everybody automatically, intuitively, they stood up respectfully to receive him. And then M was describing so beautifully. There was a sudden silence, like that which comes when the curtain in a theater is about to be rung up. People who had been conversing with one another now fixed their attention on the master's serene face, eager not to lose one word that might fall from his lips. What a beautiful description. Somehow their unconscious mind had grasped the fact that here is the holiest of the holy. If God can be appearing on earth, this would be the best manifestation. Somehow, openly he might not have done, but unconsciously, intuitively, they all understood it. And there was a Brahmo devotee. He was a great leader. His name was Shivanath Shastri. And Sri Ramakrishna genuinely loved him. When Sri Ramakrishna loves somebody, there must be something lovable, some great quality in that person. Otherwise, he would not love. And we are not talking about talents. There are many people who have wonderful talents. But talents would not attract Sri Ramakrishna. Even though Sri Ramakrishna could appreciate the talents, spirituality is different from talent. Character is different from talent. A person may be highly immoral, even a drunkard, and many artists are like that, even famous artists, but they have such a talent, extraordinary talent. When they are exhibiting, manifesting their talent, it is as if some special gods are descending onto the earth and somebody sings, somebody plays, as if they have descended from Gandharva Loka. We have to salute them, that this is also a manifestation of God's power. Yadyad vibhuti matsatvam. Wherever యు సీ ఎనీ స్పెషల్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్. శ్రీమదూర్జితమేవ తత్తదేవ అవగచ్చత్వం మమ తేజో అంశ సంభవం. బికాస్ దర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ ఎల్స్ ఎక్సెప్టింగ్ గాడ్, ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ ఈవెన్ దో వీ ఆర్ నాట్ అవేర్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ ఆర్ నథింగ్ బట్ గాడ్. వీ కెనాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇఫ్ గాడ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ దేర్. ఇఫ్ గాడ్ ఈజ్ దేర్ ఆల్సో వీ కెనాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ బికాస్ గాడ్ ఈజ్ ఎవ్రీవేర్. ఇఫ్ గాడ్ ఈజ్ ఎవ్రీవేర్, వెన్ హిరణ్యకశిపు ఆస్క్డ్ ప్రహ్లాద క్వశ్చన్ హిమ్ వేర్ ఈజ్ యువర్ నారాయణ, ప్రహ్లాద రిప్లైడ్ వేర్ ఈజ్ నాట్ నారాయణ. ఇఫ్ నారాయణ ఈజ్ ఎవ్రీవేర్, హూ వాజ్ హిరణ్యకశిపు? వాట్ వాజ్ ది పిల్లర్? హూ వాజ్ ప్రహ్లాద? ఇఫ్ వీ గో డీప్ ఇన్ టు ఇట్ దే వర్ నథింగ్ బట్ గాడ్, దెన్ వై డిడ్ గాడ్ బికమ్ సో మచ్? ఇట్ ఈస్ హిజ్ లీలా, శ్రీరంగనాథ. సో శివనాథ్ వాజ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది పీపుల్ హూ వాజ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ లీడర్ అండ్ హీ హెస్ రిటన్ హిజ్ ఆటోబయోగ్రఫీ లేటర్ ఆన్. ఐ ట్రైడ్ టు ఫైండ్ అవుట్ వాట్ హీ హెస్ గాట్ టు సే అబౌట్ ది మాస్టర్, బట్ ఐ కుడ్ నాట్ ఫైండ్ మచ్. హీ వాజ్ మెన్షనింగ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ ఎక్సెప్టింగ్ శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ. ఐ డోంట్ నో వెదర్ హీ హెడ్ ఎక్స్ప్రెస్డ్ ఎనీవేర్ ఎల్స్, బట్ హీ హెడ్ వెన్ శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ ఫెల్ ఇల్, శివనాథ్స్ డివోషన్ టు శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ హ్యాడ్ కమ్ డౌన్ కన్సిడరబుల్లీ. హీజ్ ఒపీనియన్ వాజ్ స్పిరిచువల్ పీపుల్ షుడ్ నాట్ బికమ్ ఇల్ ఆర్ సిక్, అండ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ దాట్ హీ మేడ్ ఎన్ ఎక్స్ప్రెస్డ్ స్టేట్మెంట్ దట్ ప్రీవియస్లీ హీజ్ శ్రీ రామకృష్ణస్ మైండ్ వాజ్ ఇన్ ఎ వెరీ హై రెల్, బట్ ఆఫ్ లేట్ ఇట్ హెస్ కమ్ డౌన్ వెరీ మచ్. వాట్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ ఇంటలెక్ట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఐ కెన్ నెవర్ అండర్స్టాండ్. వెన్ ఏ పర్సన్ వన్స్ రీచెస్ ఎ హయ్యర్ స్టేజ్ ది క్వశ్చన్ ఆఫ్ ఫర్గెటింగ్ ఇట్ అండ్ కమింగ్ డౌన్ టు ఎ లోయర్ స్టేజ్ విల్ నెవర్ అరైజ్. బట్ శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ ఈ శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ, హీ అండర్స్టూడ్ ది గుడ్ సైడ్, నాట్ దట్ శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ వాజ్ ఇగ్నోరెంట్ అబౌట్ ది డౌన్ సైడ్ ఆఫ్ కేశవ చంద్ర సేన్, ఆఫ్ ప్రతాప్ చంద్ర ముజుందార్ అండ్ శివనాథ్ శాస్త్రి ఎట్సెట్రా. బట్ శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ డెవలప్డ్ ది క్వాలిటీ ఆఫ్ లుకింగ్ ఓన్లీ at the good side of everybody. So he became joyous. Ah, here is Shivanath. You see, you are a devotee of God. So God certified about Shivanath that you are a devotee of God. The very sight of you gladdens my heart. Then Sri Ramakrishna gives a very funny example. In the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, every now and then we see Sri Ramakrishna's two special talents. One talent is his humorous stories. Another is his parables. Many, many a parable Sri Ramakrishna had given. So someone had compared him to Kalidasa himself, who was famous for his similes. Upama Kalidasasya Bharavehe Artha Gaurvam Dandinaha Padalalithyam Maghe Santi Trayogunaha. Four great poets in the past were greatly praised, each for a special quality. But Kalidasa was the first greatest poet, and his greatness is, for everything he will give a wonderful simile. Maybe half the shloka will be beautiful Sanskrit. The other half may be a simile. I'll just give an example. I'm not going to explain and waste our time. So once two poor Brahmins wanted to claim a praise by announced by Bhojaraja, who was missing Kalidasa, and whoever can compose a shloka, they will get a lot of money. And these two people were able to compose the first line. That was the limit of their talent. Bhojanam Dehi Rajendra Grita Supa Samanvitam. They were South Indian Brahmins. O King, we are hungry. Please provide us very nice meals. Grita and Supa. Ghee and Rasam. South Indian Rasam. Are they all their poetic talents had exhausted itself? Then Kalidasa, all of a sudden, they did not know who was Kalidasa. He appeared and he took pity upon them, and then he completed it in the form of a simile. భోజనం దేహి రాజేంద్ర ఘృత సూప సమన్వితం శరత్ చంద్ర చంద్రిక మహిషంచ ధవళం దధి. వి ఆర్ సౌత్ ఇండియన్స్, వి లవ్ యోగర్ట్ కర్డ్స్ యోగర్ట్ అండ్ ఇట్ షుడ్ బి వైట్ లైక్ ది ప్యూర్ మూన్ లైట్ అటమ్ సీజన్. So, and it should be very thick also. And it should be made from the milk of a buffalo. Sharat, Chandra, Chandrika, Mahishancha. Mahisha means a buffalo. Dhavalam means white, pure white, dadhi. So it should be, the whiteness should be like that of the whiteness of the moonlight, of the full moon day that arises in atom season. With that, they came, and of course, Bhojaraja recognized their talent, half talent, and they rewarded him anyway, and asked, where is that person, where did you meet? And in that way, he traced Kalidasa, and they became happily united together. Anyway, Sri Ramakrishna is giving a simile. One hemp smoker feels very happy to meet another hemp smoker. Very often they embrace each other in an exuberance of joy. And the devotees, the way Sri Ramakrishna can express, it is not only the expression, but more often it is the expressor himself. How he makes it, that is what makes the difference between a non-talented person and a talented person. Even if you want to tell a joke, you must have that talent. Not only you must have a good joke, but a very special way of telling the joke. Otherwise, others will be politely laughing, but they don't understand head or tail of what you have spoken. But Sri Ramakrishna was a master humorist. So also Swami Vivekananda. So also Swami Brahmananda. So also many other direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna. So also many of the Swamis of the Ramakrishna order. Then, it is a long, I am cutting short things which are not very necessary. Then, Sri Ramakrishna became quite popular. And many people come, devotees come. Along with them, unworthy people, uninterested in spirituality, also accompany these devotees. At one glance, Sri Ramakrishna could understand them. So he is talking about them, the master. Many people visit the temple garden at Dakshineswar. If I see some among the visitors indifferent to God, I say to them, you had better sit over there where you have the freedom not to listen. Or sometimes I say, go and see the beautiful buildings. And devotees burst into laughter. They understand what they mean. And so many people who were listening to Sri Ramakrishna were, I suspect, of that type only. Sometimes I find that the devotees of God are accompanied by worthless people. Their companions are immersed in gross worldliness and don't enjoy spiritual talk at all. Since the devotees keep on for a long time talking with me about God, the others become restless. Finding it impossible to sit there any longer, they whisper to their devotee friends, when shall we be going? How long will you be staying here? And the devotees say, wait a bit, we shall go after a little while. Then the worldly people say in a disgusted tone, well then, you can talk, you can listen, we shall wait for you in the boat. And again everybody laughs. There is profound meaning in every sentence that comes from the mouth of Sri Ramakrishna, because he was God himself. And God is another name for pure knowledge. Sat, Chit, Ananda Swarupa. Sri Ramakrishna was, why is he telling? Worldly people will never listen to you. If you ask them to renounce everything and devote themselves wholeheartedly to God, therefore, Chaitanya and Nithai, that is Nityananda, after some deliberation, made an arrangement to attract the worldly. And what was the arrangement they made? They would say to such persons, come, come, repeat the name of Hari and you shall have a delicious soup of magur fish and the embrace of a young woman. Many people attracted by the fish and the mention of the woman would chant the name of God. After tasting a little of the nectar of God's hallowed name, they would soon realize that the fish soup, achar jhol, really meant the tears they shed for love of God, while the young woman signified the earth. The embrace of the woman meant rolling on the ground in the rapture of divine love and joy. Of course, some of the words are not uttered by Sri Ramakrishna. I'm just adding them so that we can enjoy Sri Ramakrishna's words. And the way M had written this Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, we have to imagine we are also present among those devotees. In mentally, there is no distance of time or space. We can be anywhere in it. Just a thought. We can go to Mars. We can go to Saturn. We can go to the very sun. We can go to Brahmaloka. What do you think Sri Ramakrishna was doing? Whenever he used to go into Samadhi, he used to go into different lokas to enjoy that flavor. But he knows these are all manifestations of Brahman only. That is called Leela. So, Divine Mother commanded Sri Ramakrishna after he was continuously in the state of Nirvikalpa Samadhi for 6 long months at a stretch after the departure of his Vedanta Guru, Totapuri Maharaj. And then a sadhu came and beat Sri Ramakrishna until he came back to the consciousness and tried to put a little bit of food into his mouth. Then at the end of 6 months, Sri Ramakrishna was commanded by the Divine Mother, Bhava Mukhe Thako. That means, sometimes you be absorbed in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, sometimes you be absorbed in Savikalpa Samadhi. That Savikalpa Samadhi is called the Leela, Nitya and Leela. You sit in between. You look at Nitya. Then you look at Leela also. It is like a person sitting on the very doorstep. He can look outside, which is comparable to Leela, and he can look inside, which is comparable to the Nitya. Once a person attains, his mind cannot come down from that level. So, the topic now turned to the greatness of God. God's name is sacred, pure. Every day probably we go on singing Mother's song in the hymn composed by Swami Abhedananda. Prakrutim paramam abhayam varadam. Pavitram charitam yasyaha. Pavitram jivanam tatha. Pavitrata swarupinyai. Tasyai kurmo namo namaha. Another version, Tasyai devyai namo namaha. But the mother, Pavitram charitam yasya, whose conduct is absolutely pure. Pavitram jivanam tatha. One whose whole life is an embodiment of purity. Pavitrata swarupinyai. Her very essence is nothing but pure sacred. Once there was a cook at Jayarambati, a woman, and somehow, unfortunately, I don't know how it happened, a crow passed filth on her, and it was winter season. Then she wanted to take bath in the pond, which is highly dangerous because it is full of germs first. Then it is very cold in the cold season. It was night. Holy Mother advised her, don't do that, just wash it off. Nothing happens. But she was a superstitious woman. All right. Then sprinkle a few drops of Ganges water. And that too did not satisfy her. At last, Holy Mother said, touch me. Then the woman came to her senses, touched Holy Mother and felt relieved. Pavitrata Swarupinyai. She is the very embodiment of purity. So, there is also a beautiful verse when explaining the Vishnu Sahasranama. Pavitranam Pavitram Yo Mangalanancha Mangalam Daivatam Daivatanancha Bhutanam Yo Avyayaha Pita. He is the God, is the very embodiment of purity. Not only purity, Mangalanancha Mangalam, the greatest good will come only by just uttering his name. Such is the greatness of his very name. Daivatam Daivatanancha. He is the God of all gods and of everybody. Yo Avyayaha Pita. He is the Father, he is the Creator of all of us. The whole creation comes from him. Then in the Vishnu Sahasranama, a beautiful word comes. It is called Aksharaha. So what is this Akshara? Akshara means that which deviates, that which loses its essence, that is called Kshara. That which never loses its essence, that is called Satyam, that is also called God. But there was a great Visishtadvaita commentator. He gave a very marvelous meaning. Said if any person, even by mistake, says once, O Lord, I belong to you. This was the promise of Rama to Vibhishana. In Valmiki Ramayana, we get this verse. Rama tells to Vibhishana and others, if anybody once sincerely says to me, O Rama, I belong to you, thereafter I will never let him go from my hand. So let him once hand over his hand to me. Thereafter, he may try to run away from me, but I will not let him go. That is called Aksharaha. What a beautiful interpretation. And that's what exactly Sri Ramakrishna also, on another occasion, said, even if a man in his whole life prays but once very sincerely, O Lord, I belong to you, such a person ultimately has to come to me. That means he is going to be liberated because I am not going to leave him, because I have to fulfill my vow which I have given in that incarnation called Sri Rama Avatara. After all, Ramakrishna said, he who was Rama, he who was Krishna, and by extension, he who was Buddha, he who was Jesus, he who was Chaitanya, all the previous incarnations, Dashavatara, 24 avataras, in fact, infinite number of avataras, they're all, in essence, same. Different dress, different nature, what is called qualities. Necessary to correct people's behavior, to guide them, that is called dharmasthapana, establishment of dharma, depending upon that conditions of that particular society. In those times, one of the biggest problems with Islam, they refused to interpret the sayings of Prophet Muhammad that are suitable for this condition. That's what Swami Ranganathanji Maharaj had done in his talks. Eternal values for a changing society. Values are eternal. The truth will never change, but its expression, manifestation, utility has to be adjusted according to the understanding of the changing society. That is what Sri Ramakrishna had come in so many ways. If we can look at Sri Ramakrishna through the lens of eternal values for a changing society, then we understand things much better. And Sri Ramakrishna is continuing, how great is the purity, sacredness of God's name. Nitai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal companion, Nityananda, he was called. Nitai for short. Nimai is Chaitanya himself is called Nimai. Nimai and Nitai, inseparable friends. So Nitai would employ any means to make people repeat Hari's name. So that is explanation given. That is, there is a beautiful saying in Bengali. This is only a translation of that. Chaitanya said, the name of God has very great sanctity. It may not produce an immediate result, but one day it must bear fruit. It is like a seed that has been left on the cornice of a building. After many days, the house crumbles and the seed falls on the earth. Then it germinates and at last bears fruit. So, we are impatient. Oh, I have been taking God's name since my childhood. In fact, if you recollect, this was one of the retorts that the mother of Swami Vivekananda had given. Swamiji had the habit of repeating God's name as soon as he gets up from his bed. But recently his father had suddenly a heart attack and passed away. As soon as he passed away, all the relatives became, friends became enemies, relatives became great arch enemies. They tried to squeeze everything from Vishwanath Datta's family, that is Bhuvaneshwari Devi and her children and her mother, her grandmother, etc. And on the proper description is not given, but terrible condition that Swamiji had undergone. Later on, Bhuvaneshwari Devi used to narrate. Later on means after the passing away of Swami Vivekananda. How many days he used to come home without eating food, but telling a white lie. I have been invited and I had my full meal, and he will come chewing a betel leaf to show that generally people are given betel nut and betel leaf after full food, special food is given. So he would come chewing to prove that he had eaten. But whole day he has not eaten anything. Such was the condition that they had to go through. So one day, this Narendranath, he got up from bed and he started taking God's name. And Bhuvaneshwari Devi, his mother's patience came to an end. Stop taking the name of God's name. You have been taking his name from your very birth. What has he done for you? And that brought about a shock in Swami Vivekananda's life. So, there are people, it is not 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, 60 years, or even 90 years, or 100 years. We may not feel, but there would be a great change, a great transformation will be going on from the very bottom. We may not recognize it. We may think nothing is happening, really speaking. This is what Sri Ramakrishna is quoting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It says it is like that, like a seed. It may not produce an immediate result, but one day it must bear fruit. It's like a seed that has been left on the cornice of a building. After many days, the house crumbles and the seed falls on the earth, germinates, and at last bears fruit. Then Sri Ramakrishna changed the topic. Bhakti characterized by the three gunas. We are all familiar with gunas. Sattva guna, rajo guna, tamo guna. And then Sri Ramakrishna is explaining in the most exquisite manner. He says, as worldly people are endowed with sattva, rajas and tamas, so also is bhakti characterized by the three gunas. What does Sri Ramakrishna mean? You see, when a person is endowed with tamo guna, he may have some bhakti, but that bhakti has to express itself through that dominant guna called tamo guna. Similarly, when a person is a rajasic, that means he is endowed with more rajas than the other two gunas. No guna is completely absent. You cannot isolate one guna from the other gunas, but one can dominate. Just like sometimes our desire to act dominates. Sometimes we feel like expressing our emotion. Sometimes our willpower becomes very dominant. Sometimes our intellect takes over. So at different times, different faculties take over. That is what Sri Ramakrishna means here. So, who is a tamasic bhakta? When a person has got more tamoguna, but at the same time he is also a devotee. Don't think that a tamasic person cannot have bhakti. No, he can have bhakti, but it will be of a different manifestation. That's what beautifully Sri Ramakrishna is trying to explain. So, a sattvika bhakta, a rajasika bhakta, and a tamasika bhakta. Sri Ramakrishna's explanations are Veda, expressions, the teachings of Veda. And he continues, do you know what a worldly person endowed with sattva is like? Perhaps his house is in a dilapidated condition here and there. He doesn't care to repair it. The worship hall may be strewn with pigeon droppings and the courtyard covered with moss, but he pays no attention to these things. The furniture of the house may be old. He doesn't think of polishing it and making it look neat. He doesn't care for dress at all. Anything is good enough for him. But the man himself is very gentle, quiet, kind, and humble. He doesn't injure anyone. We have to note very carefully, a tamasic person also does the same thing. But when a tamasic person doesn't repair his house or polish his furniture, it shows his laziness, his dislike to exert any action. But here in this case, he is not attached. And if you go to Nagamahashaya's house, and he had a talent, he could earn a lot of money. He was one of the greatest homeopathic physicians and very effective. But he decided to be a devotee of God, pure sattva guna, to an astonishing degree. When somebody came during his absence and saw that the white ants are eating away the pillars of his house, and he thought, I am doing great service to Nagamahashaya. So he removed all of them. Many of them must have died. When Nagamahashaya came back, that was the first thing he noticed. Said, what have you done? For generations together, they are living here with the greatest security, feeling of security, that nobody is going to make us, throw us out of our home. But you came and threw them out. It is not mere expression of words. Immediately went and then found out where this devotee had thrown, and many thousands of white ants were still alive. Lovingly he brought them and placed them where they are and promised them, in future, nobody is ever going to make you homeless. I am giving you my word. We cannot imagine such kind of sattva guna. His bedroom is the only room in his whole house which has not become holy, whose roof has not become very holy. So whenever any respectable guests come, both husband and wife vacate their bedroom and accommodate the guests there, and all other rooms were leaky, and especially East Bengal is known for too much of rain. So they would spend the whole night and then chant the name of God. His wife, Sharat Kamini, was one of the greatest saintly ladies, I have to say. And she had the good fortune of feeding Swami Vivekananda. So Sri Ramakrishna is describing, a sattvika person doesn't do because he doesn't want to waste his time in these trivial affairs. But he is not a lazy person. He is not a lethargic person, but he wants to lead as simple a life as possible. Further description will come. Now about a rajasika bhakta. Again, among the worldly, there are people with the traits of rajas. Such a man has a watch and chain and two or three rings on his fingers. The furniture of his house is all spick and span. On the walls hang portraits of the queen, the prince of Wales, and other prominent people. The building is whitewashed and spotlessly clean. His wardrobe is filled with a large assortment of clothes. Even the servants have their livery and all that. When Madhur Babu came to Varanasi bringing Sri Ramakrishna with him, he behaved like a Raja. He arranged for Sri Ramakrishna to be carried in a beautiful palanquin with all security guard in front and back of that palanquin, not that anybody is going to harm Sri Ramakrishna, but to show off. And a servant used to hold a large silver umbrella over his head. Of course, everybody used to make way for him, a great man. Of course, he rewarded the priests also adequately with large gifts of money, cloths, etc., etc., definitely. Otherwise, nobody would respect him. On the contrary, the traits of a worldly man endowed with tamas are sleep, lust, anger, egotism, and the like. Having briefly described, now Sri Ramakrishna elaborates a little bit more. Similarly, bhakti devotion has its sattva. A devotee who possesses it meditates on God in absolute secret, perhaps inside his mosquito net. Others think he is asleep. Since he is late in getting up, they think perhaps he has not slept well during the night. His love for the body goes only as far as appeasing his hunger, and that only by means of rice and simple greens. There is no elaborate arrangement about his meals, no luxury in cloths, and no display of furniture. Besides, such a devotee never flatters anybody for money. So this is the another description of a sattvika devotee. A person with sattva derives so much of joy. We have to understand, why do people go on putting on so many golden ornaments, such as saris or silk chadars, etc., etc.? Because they derive, they think that we must exhibit our wealth and others should respect. They derive their ananda, happiness, from that. But greater ananda, as we have been seeing in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Shrotriyasya cha akamahatasya. So if a person, the higher he climbs, the nearer he comes to God, the greater also will be his joy. We have to understand that. So what happens to a rajasic person endowed with bhakti, an aspirant, sadhaka, possessed of rajasic bhakti, puts a tilak on his forehead and a necklace of holy rudraksha beads interspersed with gold ones around his neck. All laugh at this beautiful, not only analogy, but the way Sri Ramakrishna expresses it. At worship, he wears a silk cloth. But what about a tamasic bhakta? A man endowed with tamasic bhakti has burning faith. This is the difference between a tamasic person and a tamasic bhakta. So, a tamasic bhakta has burning faith. Such a devotee literally extorts boons from God, even as a robber falls upon a man and plunders his money. Bind, beat, kill, that is his way, the way of the dacoits. Now, I just remembered a beautiful anecdote in the life of Rani Rasmani. Once she was traveling with some security guard, of course. But there were, in those days, there were highway robbers. And these days, those very robbers incarnate themselves as what is called internet robbers. So, what is called fishers, not F-I, F-H-I, fishing, they call it. Both are fishing only, no doubt about it. And those people were only their limited need. But these people are millionaires, billionaires, and they squeeze all that money from their own customers. So every big company is trying to pull everybody and keep them in their own environment, not allowing them to get out to alternative means. There is a lot of protest against it. But then this is the nature. Highway robbers will always be there. Only the way of the robbing, previously they used to fall, rob, kill, beat. But nowadays, oh, we are your greatest friends, etc. You know better than me. What does it mean? Why am I talking about it? Because the nature of the people will not never change. this world will always be a mixture of good and evil. So a man endowed with tamasic bhakti is burning faith. Saying this, the master began to sing in a voice sweet with rapturous love. His eyes turned upwards. But then he says something very, very important. It is for us to understand. So much is the burning faith of this tamasic devotee. If only I can pass away, O mother, repeating your name Durga, let me see how you can withhold yourself and be away from me. These are very beautiful thoughts. So sometimes, perhaps, we have to start with tamasika bhakti. These are very beautiful thoughts. We will talk about them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.